All right. Welcome, everyone. ASA 2016. We're three quarters of the way through it. Hooray! It has been, I think, a marvelous, wonderful conference. We've had so many special things this weekend. We've had all the special VIPs here that we've celebrated. We're finishing our 75th year this year. Looking forward to our new 75 years coming up beginning next year. It's just been fantastic. And I hope you're all as jazzed as I am about ASA. All right. We had a great talk from Ted last night that helped a whole bunch of new people that are here understand the context of ASA, where the heck we came from, why we exist. That was a wonderful addition. We've had great plenary speakers. Got one more great lady coming tomorrow morning in even more good talks. So I am just as enthused as I could be. My name is Lynn Billman, and I'm up here because I've been on council 4 years, and this year I'm the president. So I appreciate the chance. Supposed to be standing by the mic here. I appreciate the opportunity to serve in that capacity. It's kept me off the streets and out of the bars. It's been a year of transition. Wow, transition. Randy's gone off into wonderful retirement land with his adorable wife and doing things that he's wanted to do for a long time, but he's still serving ASA. Where's Randy? He's back there. Hi, Randy. He's still serving. Hey, Randy. You should know Randy's helping out with the IT, the fun part of behind-the-scenes work that keeps everybody's memberships records right and all the rest of that. So he's still serving all kinds of ways, this organization that he loves. And this year, we got to select and search nationwide, and we picked Vicki to be our executive director. Hey, Vicki, way to go. And we have the dynamic duo.
My name's Leslie.
You said Vicki.
I'm sorry. All right, we got to do this again. Rewind the tape, all right? We did the nationwide search, and we've got Leslie Wickman. Hey! All right. But I did that because I didn't want to forget Vicki. Now, Vicki, see, there you go. Vicki started working with us like three-ish years ago as like an accountant, right? Something like that. But she's had so much experience with helping, with running and helping to run Christian-based organizations that she's given us lots of good ideas. And now we have her in the dynamic duo with Leslie as our Director of Operations and Development. Yay, Vicki! Now we'll do Vicki. They will tell you a little bit later some of their ideas for the beginning of the next 75 years of ASA, the things that they want to see happening that we're all very excited about on the council. Okay, let me look at my notes here. All right, we have, and I have to say this, in addition to the new things that they want to do, we are not going to abandon, we're going to keep on the great strengths that ASA has had for all these years, like our PSCF journal, the Got a Nature e-zine that we've been developing the last several years, these great national conferences. We're going to keep all of those very, very important activities going while we expand with students, we expand with women. We expand geographically. We expand local chapters. Lots of things that we want to do to vitalize ASA for the next several years. Okay, I have to tell you a little bit about the agenda, what we're going to do at this meeting. Randy has a very short thing he's going to do, which I don't understand, but that's okay. We'll just listen to Randy. Then Leslie's going to go over her vision for the organization as our executive director. We have fellows we're going to talk about. We have remembrances and prayers that we are going to cover. Vicki's going to do a financial update for us and let you know how the organization is doing in that sense. Then you'll see me come back because I get a lot of fun. I get to tell you about next year's meeting. And then we have a Q&A session. So we would ask you if you have questions about the budget or about the vision or anything that's mentioned to you, please hold your questions to the Q&A part, and that'll help keep us on track for the meeting. And then at the very end, Shannon and Hannah are going to talk about Nexus on Facebook and the giveaways that were promised early in the meeting. Leslie?
Yes.
No, you're not next. Randy's next. You wait. Randy's next. Okay, yeah. Randy.
No, please. I've been sent here to interject as an emissary from the Center for Theology and the Natural Sciences. Bob Russell asked me to present to Leslie and to all of you a special letter, and I'd just like to quickly read this. Dear Leslie, on behalf of CTNS, I'm writing to congratulate the American Scientific Affiliation on its 75th anniversary. Since your founding in 1941, you have been a pioneer in the complex field of Christian theology and science. Over the decades, you have produced tremendous academic, educational, and pastoral resources for all of us longing for and committed to a constructive relationship of mutual respect and shared discovery between the scientific and Christian communities. We at CTNS deeply share the goals of the ASA and rejoice in the growing fellowship shared between us. While the central focus of CTNS is on the same community, we reach out as well to the wider interfaith communities of scientists. I believe there is real strength in our commonality and in our differences when all viewpoints are held in respect and seek open dialogue. The common focus of the ASA and CTNS offers us a strong platform of mutual support, and our differences can point to new directions in which we can each grow in service to Christ. On a personal note, I remember with great fondness my friendship with Bob Herman, who published my first paper in Perspectives over 3 decades ago. During the ensuing years, I got to know and care deeply for Bob through advisory events at the Templeton Foundation, and I'm immensely grateful for his creation and leadership of the initial Templeton-funded science and religion course program based at Gordon College. I also rejoice in my long and rich friendship with Randy Isaac. I deeply admire and am grateful for his tremendous leadership of the ASA and for his vision of how the natural sciences can be integrated into Christian theology. My wonderful friendship with Walter Hearn, who lives right here in Berkeley and is a frequent participant of CTNS events, goes back now for many decades. One of the highest points in my professional life came last year when I was inducted into the cadre of ASA Fellows, a true honor I will always cherish. I look forward with much excitement, Leslie, to your leadership of the ASA as its new executive director, and I commit once again to the goal of discovering new and fruitful ways that the ASA and CTNS can work together for the sake of creating an ever-deepening dialogue and interaction between science and Christian faith. Wishing you a fabulous conference marked with great celebrations of all that the ASA has accomplished and a prophetic and compelling vision for what you will explore in the years ahead. Yours ever in Christ, Robert Russell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vicki. I mean, Leslie. I'm not sure what happened to our slides, actually. We had a set of slides that we were... Oh, there we go. Oh, very good. Okay, excellent. Terrific, thanks. Okay, so actually the first thing that I'm going to do is talk a little bit about my vision for the ASA. And I've shared bits and pieces of this with you in different venues, but I thought I'd take this opportunity to do this tonight. So in my view, ASA should serve as the preeminent member-driven and member-serving national professional organization for science and faith. We should stimulate and encourage the open dialogue between science and faith without advocating for one particular position. Let's expand the conversation to include more of the issues involving ethics, appropriate technologies, engineering, health, environmental stewardship, and others. Let's encourage and empower our members to lead the dialogue in their own churches, schools, and communities. In addition, we need to make a very intentional effort to engage and retain young Christians in the sciences by appealing to their needs and interests and desires. After all, they're the future of our organization. I'd also like to see us work to encourage more networking and collaboration between members based on specific interests, skills, and resources. The ASA has a very important message for our culture, and in particular for our young people who are still thinking about what to do with their lives. From my experience in the university classroom, we need to reach young people at an ever earlier age so they understand that science and faith can coexist. So I believe we need to extend our reach to churches, families, and youth, as well as to those who teach and influence them. We'll soon be initiating what I'm calling our local chapters campaign, and this will involve reaching out to individual members as well as colleges, seminaries, schools of education, churches, and parachurch ministries and organizations in areas where there are no current local chapters in particular, so that we can encourage and assist the development of more local chapters in order to support Christians in the sciences throughout the entire year within their own communities. And we are also looking at some grant opportunities to help us with this. And we are looking at things such as developing professional development seminars and science and faith internships for students of all levels, so K through 12, undergrad, graduate students, in addition to for teachers and pastors to expose them to work in a science and faith organization, whether that's ASA or one of the organizations that we're networked with. And as I've said many times, and I'm sure I'll say many more, young people in particular need to know that science is a viable career choice for Christians, and that is possible to be both a faithful Christian as well as a top-notch scientist. And so with that, what I'd like to turn to now is some of the recognitions this year for our wonderful organization. So first of all, I would like to announce the new ASA fellows for this year. And a handful of these people are here with us tonight, and so I'd like to present them with certificates, but we'd like to recognize all of them. So first of all, Kirk Birchie. The next fellow I'd like to recognize tonight is Bill Jordan. And next, Don Petcher. And there are several who could not be here with us tonight, including Doug Loffenberger, Chris McCosco, and Dawn Page. So we're happy that they were elected. Oh, wait, Tim?
Could you explain to some of us new folk, what is a fellow?
Okay, can I explain? Let's see. So I think the minimum requirements are 5 years of membership in the ASA.
Regular
as in back to back to back, is that?
No, regular as in
pay. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, yeah. I'm new at this. So 5 years of regular membership, a degree in the sciences, an advanced degree.
Would you like me to help you?
Yes, would you, please?
To become the fellow is the pool from which we pull future leaders for ASA. That's the pool from which we nominate people for council. And you need to be a five-year member with a regular status. That's a $85 a year kind of a status. And there are three categories that people are rated on. One is technical excellence and professional accomplishments. Another is service to ASA. And another is service to other science faith organizations that are not ASA. And the process is that fellows are at the pool of fellows, which is currently, I don't know, 100, almost 200, 188 or something like that. Those folks, once a year, we ask them, please nominate people you know of that meet these criteria. We give them lists of information. Please nominate people you think are worthy to be considered to be fellow according to those criteria. And people fill out extensive submissions justifying. It's like winning an award. You need to have justification because there's competition for this. Not everyone is declared a fellow. Certainly not. It's not easy. If you are awarded the status of fellow, you've earned it. So these nominations come in, and then usually the executive director will kind of pre-screen. We might get 25, but we don't consider that many in any given year. This is not something that goes out automatically or thoughtlessly. And you will be giving us on council the best ideas you can see in this list, the top ones, and we'll go over at least the top ones carefully and maybe take a quick look at the other ones. And then we down select to a smaller group that we feel. We don't have a set number, but it's 3, it's 4, it's 5, it's 6 this year. And then those names go back out to the group of fellows as the council recommends these people, please vote. And the pool of fellows all vote via Survey Monkey. And typically they go along with the council's recommendations, not always, but typically. And then that's the process. And then at the annual meeting, people are given these awards on a public basis. So, does that answer the questions?
Yes.
Ask your son. Did you answer? Did she answer it?
I think I get it, but I might need to email her.
Okay. All right. Okay, and also we'd like to recognize the 50-year ASA members here this year. And I believe that only one on this list is actually with us today, and that is Terry Morrison.
Yay, Terry!
The others, just by stating their names, Richard Carlson, Vernon Ehlers, Peter Esser, Richard Humphrey, Robert Newman, Sir Gillian Prance, and Richard Ribble. So, well done. And now we come to the remembrances, those members who have passed away. We have been notified of their passing since our last gathering at the annual meeting. So what I'd like to do for this section is to, as we go through this list, I'll state their name, and if any of you have any memories of these people, we would love it if you would actually say a word or two about them. So we'll start with Austin Anthus. Does anybody know Austin or had any personal encounters with him?
He was a year or two behind me at Rice when I was an undergraduate there.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks.
I think I probably invited him to the ASA.
Thanks for sharing. Ronald Beery? Anyone? David Cole.
David Cole was a world-class geneticist at UC Berkeley, longtime ASA member. I only spoke to him once, and it wasn't at an ASA meeting. He normally did not come to ASA meetings. It was at an event in the Berkeley area organized by Bob Russell. But it was an extensive conversation, very fruitful conversation. He was a deep lover of the ASA and of Christianity and science. And it's a big loss to the public face of Christianity that David Cole has passed.
Thanks, Ted. Thomas Cummings. Yeah, please.
Tom lived in Peoria. He was a chemist, taught at Bradley University. And I don't know how many ASA activities he pursued, but he was very faithful at student interactions. I had students into their home regularly. And the thing that stood out to me about him is he was an absolutely committed sailor. I think once he even sailed around the world, at least he sailed across the Atlantic several times.
Wow.
It was sort of an obsession, but he survived.
Wow, impressive. Vicki?
Yeah, I just want to say that I had the privilege of visiting Tom in his home back in March. He lived in Merritt Island, Florida, and I was down there visiting Don Monroe and a few others, and I visited Tom and actually stayed the night in his home. And he had shared with me that he had had the career at Bradley, and he had his sailboat, actually. He lived right on the harbor, and the sailboat was there. And I think he's traveled around the world twice, actually. But
wow.
I had lunch with he and his son, and it was a real pleasure to meet and interact with him. And he shared with me a lot of his memories of coming to ASA meetings. And it was really special, because he also, when I was there, told me that he had cancer and had about 5 weeks to live. So when I left that day, I knew that I probably wouldn't see him again. And then I had him on my mind about 2 months later, and I sent an email to him and got an email response from his daughter that he had passed away. So again, it was a real honor and privilege for me to visit him. So
that's neat. Next, Wayne Frere. Anyone?
Wayne Frere was a turtle expert at the old King's College when they were in Briarcliff Manor, New York, near New York City. He used to wear a little turtle tie. He was also a young earth creationist, one of the few who lasted out through the ASA, but a very, you know, warm person and completely open-minded, or he never would have stayed with ASA. And he was part of one of the first people I met in ASA through the old New York area section.
Thanks, Ted.
I want to say I met Wayne Frere at, I went to one ASA conference in the 1980s while I was in grad school, and had a conversation with Wayne Frere, and was just impressed. He was a young earth creationist, like Ted said, but he was very nice and warm and open and willing to discuss things and not reactionary like many of the young earth creationists I've met more recently.
Thanks. Frederick Galloway, Jr. Richard Henry.
If there's a D between the N and the R, that was my first graduate student at the Baylor University Medical College. And he was a co-author with me on the chapter on the origin of life in 59 Darwin Centennial Line.
Do you know that he's passed? We're trying to determine whether that is a typo, possibly.
Yeah. Well, that guy's name was Richard A. Hendry, but sounds like it.
Okay. I guess we'll go with that.
He taught for much of his postdoctoral life at Westminster College in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. Charles Poole, Jr.
I'll speak for Charles Poole, but let me first say that my middle name is Hendry with a D, and I've spent my life trying to prevent people from dropping the D. Charles Poole was a member of my Golden Case Hawanis Club in Columbia, South Carolina, for the last 7 or 8 years before he died within the past year. And I actually reported his death to ASA. I think I discovered his ASA connection in the context of a paper on theology and science. He was a physicist. A paper that he wrote with his fellow physics department at the University of South Carolina member, a Brit named Ron Edge. A paper on theology and science written by Charles Poole, Catholic, and Ron Edge, Unitarian. I reviewed the paper, but I've never turned it into Charles, and so I don't know what became of the paper. But that's what I can tell you about Charles Poole.
Thank you. Joseph Spradley.
When I transferred from Messiah College to Wheaton College, Joe Spradley and his wife were my house parents.
Wow.
So I got to know them rather well, and then I had them for physics and a mathematics class, I remember, before I graduated with a chemistry major there at Wheaton.
Cool.
Joe was my faculty colleague. He was at Wheaton, I believe, from 1959 until 2008, but he continued to teach even after retiring in, I think it was 08, it was about 49 years. One thing that I always saw him is if I'd go down, especially on a Saturday afternoon, to the pool, he would be at the high dive, and he would do about 3 dives.
Wow.
And if you look at Wheaton College's YouTube channel, and look up Joe Spradley diving, they made a video of him last fall, the age of 79, I think, doing his dives, talking about his life.
Wow.
Very well produced. Somewhere between last fall, later last fall, cancer detected in his body and he passed away in April. Marilyn, his wife, very, very well loved, big international connections that he's had, teaching Daystar University in Kenya.
Thanks, Ray.
Joe Spradley was in my dad's class at Los Angeles City College back many, many years ago, and I remember my dad was very impressed with him. He was one of his special students.
That's neat. Thanks, Harold.
Yeah, I also enjoyed having him as a physics professor.
Wow, cool. Thanks.
I had him as a physics professor.
Wow. Go, Joe.
So I spoke at our ASA local chapter a few years ago on the moon and why it's such a blessing.
Anybody else? We're on a roll here. Harold Winters. Yeah.
I first met Harold at a debate for God That Speaks. At that time, there was no local ASA chapter. There is still no local ASA chapter. But thereafter, Harold encouraged our East Bay apologetics efforts. And he'd often bring people from his church to attend our events. His memorial spoke of the high value that Harold placed on the ASA and his participation in the ASA.
Very nice, thanks. William Weimer. Okay, well, what I'd like to do at this time is to actually pray for these members in memoriam as well as their families. So would you please pray with me now? Dear Lord God, we thank you for the blessing that these members who have passed have been to the ASA and to the people that they've come in contact with and the lives that they've touched, Lord. It's really inspirational to see how many of these people have touched others in very significant ways, Lord, and their example inspires the rest of us to do the same. We ask that you would be with their families that they've left behind and their friends and the loss, the sense of loss that their close loved ones must feel at this time. We just ask that you would comfort them, and particularly with the knowledge that they're with you in eternity and that we will see them all again one day. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, and with that, I'll turn it over to Vicki.
Good evening, everyone. So it was about a half hour ago that Leslie and I were diving around the volleyball court and hot and sweaty and sandy. So we've cleaned up pretty well, haven't we? And actually, I had to leave early. And my team actually made it to the finals this year. Are my teammates here?
Yes.
Did we win?
No. Up court was beat by the team called Five, which of course had Dominic, who dominated.
You probably lost because I had to leave early, right? Well, I'm here tonight to walk you through the financial picture of ASA. And Terry Gray has been giving me a hard time that he thinks that we should cut this out. So, Terry, I think I'm going to go twice as long, okay? No, seriously, a lot of times when you hear that you're going to be given a financial presentation, you think, oh, no, I'm going to gloss over and fall asleep. So I'm going to do my very best to keep that from happening. But what I'd like to do is walk you through the following items. ASA is on a 3/31 fiscal year end. So I'd like to walk you through the budget versus actual. We've just come off our fiscal year end and we've entered a new fiscal year. Show you some of the membership stats. We'll look at our balance sheet, designated funds balances. I'll give you a capital campaign update. That's going really well, so I have some good news there. And then we'll take a look at our fiscal 17 budget and then end with some summarizing comments. So first of all, looking at our budget, and again, I'm going to walk you through on a very high level and not spend a lot of time on each slide. But again, we are on a 3/31 fiscal year end, and so the first column that you see is our actual, how we ended the year. Second column is our budget, and then you'll see the difference column. And again, I'm going to hit the bigger ticket items as we make our way down through the income and expenses. And as I mentioned last night at the dinner, ASA is a member-run and member-funded organization, so our business model is composed primarily of membership dues as well as charitable contributions, along with a few other items that you'll see built in, one of them being the annual meeting. So typically with the annual meeting, the way we budget and plan for that is we try to spin off, and I hate to use the word profit because profit is a little bit deceiving, but we try to end with our income about $20,000 to $25,000 higher than our expenses before we factor in the fully burdened costs of our staff, because our staff are paid out of our personnel expenses. So for last year at the ORU meeting, we fell short on the income side of it, and many of you were aware of the fact that our attendance down there was not what we had expected it to be for a variety of reasons. So last year, the income on the annual meeting fell short by about $18,000. On the flip side, our contribution income was about $10,000 higher than we had budgeted. And the contribution income over the last couple of years has increased by almost 20%. So we're really encouraged on that front. Dues and subscriptions, again, it's the membership dues, and our libraries are our subscriptions, down a little bit. And I'll get into our membership stats in a few minutes. And I think you've probably heard pieces of the fact that our membership is declining a bit, the regular members, not our student members. And I'll get to that in a minute. So that's the reason for that shortfall. And then our grant income. Now, Leslie referred to some initiatives that we have with grants. We had hoped to secure a grant last fiscal year, and we went after a grant with the Troll Trust and were declined. So we weren't able to achieve our goal on the grant income and fell short by about $10,000. But again, because we came over on our contributions, that helped offset that difference. So if you look in total, our income was off by about $23,000 last year. Now running down to expenses, most of our expenses, if you look in the difference column, weren't far off from what we had budgeted. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time at the detail level of each expense, but if you look at the total, we budgeted $350. We came in at $353, so we were actually under budget by about $3,000. So then if you move down to the bottom line, everybody likes to look at the bottom line. So our net loss actually for the year was $20,000. So if you take the $22,000 that we fell short on the income against the overage on the expenses, we landed in the red by $20,000. So you might ask, okay, well, how did you deal with that $20,000 loss? Fortunately, we have reserves in hand, and we have operating reserves. So we were able to pull that loss out of our operating reserves. And I'll show you the reserve accounts in a few minutes. So that is our operating budget for last year. Let me show you a quick slide on the membership stats just to give you an idea of where we're at. So this is a five-year trend that you see, and we've got it broken down into our regular members, student members, and the subscribers are our libraries. So if you look at the trend with the regular members, you'll see it's a slow decline over 5 years, and this is concerning to us, and this is part of the reason why we have on our vision and strategy to work to change that trend and to get it in the moving in the other direction. And again, we'll speak to that in a few minutes. But check out the next the line, the student members. Amazing. We've increased that by almost fivefold in the last 5 years. So we're up to 1,100 students. We've done these student membership drives. A lot of you have helped us with those, and they've been really successful. So again, we want to find a way, as great as the students are, remember, they're non-paying, so they're not generating income for us. What are ways that we can basically convert them after 4 years of a free membership into paying members? So we're thrilled that we have 50 of them here at the conference this year, and our desire is to continue to find ways to get them engaged and keep them engaged. Because as you've heard, so many people have heard about the ASA when they're at the student level. So we want to continue to engage our students. And then library subscriptions are down some. That's really a function of the fact that a lot of libraries are going electronic now and not needing or desiring the paper version. So that's a quick look at the membership stats. Let's look at our balance sheet, which is our assets and liabilities and equity. So I mentioned the operating reserves. The assets here are composed of our checking accounts and a few other assets. So what we have in checking and savings is $131,000. Now, this is as of the end of the fiscal year. Again, I'm going to hit the bigger ticket items along here. The office condos. Many of you are aware of the fact that 2 years ago we moved out of rental mode and we purchased two office condos in Topsfield. It was a great strategic move. We launched a capital campaign which I will get to in a minute, which has gone really, really well. And we've cut our occupancy expenses by about 75% by making this move. So it was really a great financial move for the organization. So we have the asset in the condos. The pledges receivable are, again, contributions that were pledged to us before the end of the year that we didn't receive until the next fiscal year. So we had two big pledges. We actually had a $25,000 pledge for our capital campaign, which was really fantastic. And then we had another $25,000 pledge for our annual fund. Again, they're on the books because we received them in the new fiscal year. And then our endowment funds. We have an endowment fund with Morgan Stanley. And in fact, is Ken Olson here? He is not. He's one of our VIPs. And when we visited him in Walt's home last year, he was telling us that he was the one that was instrumental in starting the endowment fund all these years ago. And it started, Walt, with $1,700 in it. And so, look, we're at $277,000 now. So, again, endowment funds can be a way to invest in the long-term future of an organization, and they spend interest in dividends, which we're now using. So, in total, we have assets of about $612,000. In the accounting world, assets always equal liabilities and equity, so the liabilities and equity piece is down below, and I'll just again hit the sort of the important items. The deferred revenue relates to dues revenue, and it's an accounting thing where you account for something in the year that you actually receive the service. So the way many of you know that if you're on your dues renew, for instance, at the end of December, not everybody is on the same cycle where their dues renewal, so we account for it in a way that accounts for it in the period that you're actually receiving the service. The line of credit is the Morgan Stanley line that we tapped to purchase the office condo. So fortunately, we didn't have to go out and secure a commercial loan because we would have been paying twice the amount in interest. We had the ability to pull from our endowment fund a line of credit at about 3%. And again, it's backed by the endowment. And the way that works is as our gifts come in for the campaign, we pay down the line of credit. So the $25,000 gift that I mentioned to you, the pledge, has now been received. And so that line of credit now is gone from 55 down to 30,000. So as we finish up the campaign, this line will get paid off. So that's our balance sheet. Next, we have funds that we call designated funds. And a lot of these categories are designated gifts that we receive. A lot of donors give gifts and like to specify how they're going to be used. So we have these specific accounts set up. All our local chapters, many of you that oversee local chapters know that the local chapters each have their own accounts. A lot of you are shaking your head, so you're familiar with it. We have a student scholarship account. So many of you students that are here in the room are here because of the generosity of many of you that have given to our scholarship fund. And so a student is able to come to the conference, free registration, and 75% scholarship on the meals and lodging. And we started this fund, you'll see right here, at $3,000. Right now we're in the red by about $1,000 because we've given so many scholarships out. But as we make the need known, I'm confident that we will come out of the red and we'll have a fund to go forward to next year's conference. Again, the operating fund is what I referred to earlier. So it's our operating reserve fund. So that $20,000 loss would be pulled from this account. And then we have another reserve fund, again, that I'm going to talk about in a minute. But this is a designated reserve fund that was designated for the transition transitionary year that we're in, and I'll speak to that in a minute. And then you see our endowment fund again. So that's the breakdown of our operating and designated funds. All right, we'll keep going. Is everybody still with me? Nobody's sleeping yet, right? Okay. Capital campaign update. Again, when we purchased the office condos 2 years ago, we paid $140,000 for them, plus acquisition and closing costs and the move from Ipswich to Topsfield. So we launched a capital campaign for $150,000. And to date, we've received $120,000 in gifts and pledges. You may recall that when we launched it, we launched a four-year campaign. And so we're well ahead of our goal, only needing $30,000 to finish it up. So our thought is we'll attempt to raise $15,000 in this fiscal year and then another $15,000 in next fiscal year. And many of you have contributed to the capital campaign, and we certainly appreciate that. All right, next we come to our budget for this year. So we're in our new fiscal year. It started April 1st, and so I just want to run through this budget and how it compares to last year's budget and make a few comments on that. So the middle column is last year's budget, and then the first column is where we're at for this fiscal year. So again, I'll hit the items that have changed significantly. The first one is the annual meeting. Because we have a great attendance here and we were budgeting an attendance of about 200 to 225, which was higher than the attendance at ORU, our income number is higher here. So we were budgeting 105,000. I think we're probably going to come in over that because, as you've heard, we have an attendance of about 263. So I think we're going to have overachieved on our income, which is wonderful. Contributions, we budgeted higher, again, because we exceeded our goal last year. Last year, we raised about 165, and we're hopeful that we'll raise another 165 this year, too. Dues and subscriptions, we budgeted down a little bit, again, because of the trends that I mentioned to you. And then the interest income, you may wonder why that's significantly higher. The council made a decision this year that we were going to take the interest and dividends from the endowment fund and funnel them into the operating budget for this fiscal year. So that's why that's higher. So we're budgeting income of roughly $387,000. And then on the expense side, again, you see the annual meeting, $80,000. Again, I mentioned the $20,000 that we try to, a profit. This year we were budgeting $25,000, again, because of we knew it was going to be a well-attended conference, so we were confident to budget a little bit higher on that. Occupancy expenses, again, are coming down because as we're paying off the campaign, the interest income that we're paying on that line of credit is coming down. The professional fees is a little bit lower because in last fiscal year, I was paid as a 1099 subcontractor, and this year I've moved to a payrolled employee. Personnel expense, there's a digit off. Sorry about that. On mine, I've got the right number, but there should be a 2 in front of this right here. So that should be 241. I was like, wait.
That's pretty good pay cut.
Yeah, everybody's working for free this year. But that has gone up significantly, so by $73,000. And the reason for that is the council has made a strategic decision to invest in a two-person leadership model. And again, I'll get to that in a minute, but that's the reason for that increase there. So again, if you look at the total, it's $452 with income of $387. So we are projecting a planned loss of $65,000. So you might say, wow, why are you doing that? Again, it's because the council has decided that they're going to strategically invest in the organization as we move through this transitionary period. Because of the fact that we received a designated gift over the last year that was specifically designated for the transition in the leadership model that would cover us for a couple of years. So let me keep going here and speak to ways that we intend to cover that loss, levers that we have to pull in addition to the gift that we could tap. Our plan is to not tap the gift unless we have to. So the levers that we have in mind to pull to cover this loss, again, the annual meeting, because of the great attendance and some other measures that we've taken with the annual meeting, we're projecting that our income will be higher than what we had budgeted. We're optimistic on our contributions. Again, thanks to many of you who generously give to the ASA. It's because of you that we exist today, and we're again confident in seeing that number increase. Because of our plan with the local chapters campaign, we are hoping that we're going to turn that membership trend around that I was telling you about. So we're confident that our dues income will increase too. Grants, we have a whole plan to go after several grants, and in fact we have two grant requests out. We were told that we were going to hear by the end of July, and we were hoping we would have heard by this weekend, hoping that we would have gotten a yes. But Sharon has done some work with us, and we've got a $25,000 request out, and we've partnered with Wheaton College and Jeff Greenberg on another grant, and we hopefully receive about $6,000 on that. So we're praying that that might come to fruition. And then the other big one is expense reductions. You're always looking for ways to cut expenses, so we're looking line by line and are hopeful that we, with some restructuring, we can see some expense savings. So if all we pull all these levers and they all work, the $65,000 loss disappears. If it doesn't, we have a gift to cover any or part of that. And then just in summary, I want to piggyback on what Leslie said about our strategy. The council has been working over the last year on mission, vision, and strategy, and Leslie and I are working with them on that. And part of that, again, is this local chapters campaign. Our idea is to get out, stimulate the chapters, that there's many of them that are out there and working well, and we want to partner with you. Many of you lead chapters that are active, and so we want to come alongside you and help you do a good job with that. The chapters that aren't as active, we'd like to encourage them and get them more active. There's several of you that we've talked to this weekend. We've already got a plan to go to Northern California and work with a group of you there. Stephen Ball, we're going to go to Texas, and we're going to work on a chapter there. We have a brand new chapter from Arizona, right, that we found out about before we came to the meeting. So we feel like there's a lot of opportunity with chapters. We had a late woman come up to me right before the meeting that wanted to start a chapter in Ohio. Where are you? Yeah, there you are. Okay. So we've got a lot of interest And so that is our plan. We have a fairly heavy travel schedule in place, and we plan to do that. And again, I think just piggybacking on what we said tonight and last night at the dinner, just making ASA more accessible to a broader and larger audience, increasing the awareness, influencing the influencers, and again, this increased focus on the younger generation, the next generation of ASA members. And then with that comes, obviously, stability and sustainability. And again, just to summarize, we're looking to grow our membership, minimize our lapses, convert our students to paying members. The grant opportunities that I mentioned to you, we have other ones on the horizon. We're hoping to go before Templeton. Remember, many of you know Templeton, and we're getting our ducks in a row, and we've had a lot of really good conversations, and several of you here in the room have offered to help us. So we have a lot of opportunities before us in the area of grants, and we're working to realize that. Again, our development efforts, our desire is to increase the contribution revenue through an expanded donor base and intentional donor cultivation. The expense reductions that I mentioned to you, line by line, expense analysis and restructuring opportunities. And then continuing to watch our endowment. We keep a close eye on the endowment. Like I mentioned, we're funneling in the interest and dividends for this year, and we'll look at that at a year-by-year basis. And then with our reserve funds, too. Just right now, we have reserves at about 30% of our operating budget, and to continue to maintain a reserve for years like we had last year. So again, in summary, I want to reiterate what I said last night at the dinner, that we really appreciate all of you. It's because of you that we're able to do what we do, and I know many of you contribute faithfully to us, and we really appreciate that. And, you know, Lynn mentioned that I have experience with nonprofits, and I do. I've worked for about 25 years with a variety of them. And I can confidently tell you that while there will always be financial challenges, there will be, I really feel that ASA is poised for the next 75 years and poised for stability and sustainability. Before I hand it off to the next person, I just want to mention quickly that in this morning's offering, we took in $1,600 for the Serenity Infant Care Homes. So that's a wonderful collection. And many of you that have been to annual meetings in the past in the state at the ASA, we've often taken a collection at the end of the meeting. We're actually not going to be doing that this year because last night at the dinner, you saw the response cards that we had given you at the table. So in lieu of the collection, I would just ask that you would prayerfully consider partnering with us financially in the days ahead. So thank you. However, I bet you, if you want to write a check and find her and hand it to her, I bet she'll take it. Let's see. Ah, it is my turn. All right, different topic, folks. ASA 2017, I am very, very, very happy to announce, is going to be in Colorado. Let's hear it up for Colorado. Woo! All right, those are the peaks along. I won't tell you where they were. Never mind. It's very, very exciting. And our byline, our theme is up at the top, exploring new heights for science and stewardship. The heights is obviously because we're famous for our mountains, all right? And science and stewardship is what we want to talk about. July 28 to 31, and our byline is come early and stay late. It is a wonderful place to bring your families and plan on a vacation. Our verse that we've chosen for our conference is this one: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, from Psalm 24. And those are some of our very wonderful Rocky Mountain sheep. And I'll have you know that many of these pictures are mine. All right. Technical emphases. Now, you know, we do our ASA meetings, and we want to do next year like we did this year. There is a theme to it. However, we want all excellent quality presentations that fit our criteria of excellence to be fitting in here someplace or other. But we want to emphasize energy, water, environment. That can mean energy sources, energy uses. It can mean renewables. It can mean fossil fuels. It can mean nuclear. It can mean, you know, whatever. It can mean efficiency in terms of energy use. Water, any and all aspects of water use, water science,
water ecology, water biology. And as we say environment, we mean ecology, all the integration of environmental issues, environmental engineering, environmental sciences, all of that. We'd also like to see what papers we can generate in the area of ethics and economics related to this theme. A lot of folks kind of take a look at sustainability as another way to look at stewardship. In the Christian community, we say stewardship. Outside the community, people often say sustainability, meaning the triple bottom line, people, money, and environment. We want to take a look at folks that like to study the integration of those factors. There will always be a lot of welcome in ASAs for engineering and appropriate technologies, applied technologies in these areas or other areas. Our educators and what they have to teach us on the cutting edge of reaching students or discussing with faculty, reaching faculty with the Christian message, those are all very important fields to us. And of course, physical sciences, biological, and ag sciences. Colorado is a half an agricultural state. Close by to us is Colorado State University, which is a land-grant university with very strong ag sciences. And we want to emphasize all of these things. And of course, we always will have our theologians and our philosophers, and we love you too. we have four confirmed plenary speakers I'm going to tell you about, and we've got some ideas cooking on the fifth one. But Philip Yancey is a personal friend of Ken Turian. I don't think Ken was able to be here this evening, but he lives in Evergreen, which is near us. Philip does, I should say, and has for a good number of years. And so he has agreed to be our banquet speaker, and we have discussed with him our theme. He said he'd be happy to focus his comments on environment and creation care and so on. We also have got a confirmation from Catherine Hayhoe. She's a very well-known Christian speaker on climate change from, believe it or not, West Texas, where she goes out and she talks to West Texas Christians about climate change. And you got to have a lot of courage to do that. we also have Annabelle Pratt. She may not be as well-known as the other two, but she's a personal contact and friend and worker in Colorado with Ken and I. She is a principal engineer at the National Renewable Energy Lab, and she's going to be talking about the electricity grid, renewables, and baseline generation technology, and what you have to do to modernize the grid, and smart grids, and all of that. Okay, and our very own, sitting over there, Jim Peterson. All right. Woo. To know Jim as the editor of PSCF Journal, and then realized that he's got a wonderful ethics following and publications, and he's a true wonderful ethicist. And the ethics of sustainability is one of the key discussion points in Christian communities. Dorothy's wonderful publication. Dorothy's here someplace. Hello, Dorothy. Wave your arm. There you are. There you are. Dorothy's wonderful publication she edited and wrote for called Loving the Least of These. That gets to the core of the effect of environmental issues, social justice issues. I have a good friend that works for the EPA, and he works with these communities that are just struggling, these poor communities that have had such a hard time. So it's a very important, the ethics of this area is very important to us. All right, who's doing all this? Well, I've got the lead on it, so here we go. My co-chairs, can't do anything without them, Ken and Cheryl Turian. They're going to be doing the local arrangements work for us. Terry Gray's name's not up here. Terry's back there, but Terry's been a key element of all of our discussions and planning with Ken and Cheryl and I. And we have a number of universities around us that have varying degrees of Christian support that we'll be drawing from as well. It's going to be held at Colorado School of Mines. This is different also. Colorado School of Mines is the top-notch publicly funded school in Colorado. It has the highest grade point average required for entrance. It's a little smaller than University of Colorado Boulder. There's about 5,800 students, sorry. It was chosen for several reasons. We looked very carefully at Colorado State, and that had a number of wonderful features we liked as well, but this has a more compact campus. It's a little easier to get to from the airport.
has a little larger base to draw from in terms of people for our banquet or other people that might be coming to our conference. So the most of the meetings will be, most of the large meetings, I should say, will be in the Parker Student Center here, and the dorm is just less than 2 blocks away. And there's a nice campus engineering building for the plenary, or not for the plenaries, for the sessions close by. And that is located in a very quaint western town called Golden, Colorado. It was the territorial capital in 1869. It lost out the state capital to Denver. But it's cute. It really is. It's a college town and a tourist destination. Has a wonderful main street with this arch that says Welcome to Golden on it. It is the home of the Coors Brewery, and that's Clear Creek, and the brewery you see on the in the picture on the left. And that's a nice aerial of how Golden is nestled in a valley between a couple of mesas. One of the things we want to try next year, we'll see how it works, is when you register, there'll be a button that says, do you want to give a 30-ish minute presentation? Do you want to give a poster? Or do you not care and you would like us to choose? And if we do that, we will have some sense when people submit their abstracts, I shouldn't say for registration, but when they submit their abstracts, we'll have a sense whether we would have enough interest to do a poster session. We would hope to draw people who have good things to say, but they don't, for various reasons, want to prepare a full presentation. We don't want this to be the residence for second-class papers. We don't intend that. These should be first-class elements of effort as well. So we'll see how this works. And the banquet I mentioned before with Philip Yancey, we want to do the same kind of thing that was done here at this meeting. We were a Dozer site for one of the Dozer workshops, and we want to go to that target list where we made contacts with pastors and non-Christian faculty. We want to invite them back. We want to get other pastors from, there's a number of large churches in our metropolitan area that we can influence. We have great field trips already in the planning stages. I'm so excited. Steve Smith is a wonderful character and a friend of Stephen Mosier, who's on our council. And I saw his email about what he said he could cover in a geology tour, and I said, man, I want to go. I don't want to be program chair. I want to go to the thing. Colorado has wonderful ecology. We got this fantastic red rocks, sandstone formations. We have dinosaur bones and footprints and plant fossils all over the place. So we're going to do that. We have a bus tour being organized by Cheryl that will take a number of people to Rocky Mountain National Park for the day, and with arrangements with a ranger who would be at each stop to answer questions and talk with people. Obviously, it has fantastic scenery, and it is one of the most popular parks in the United States. We will also offer a half-day field trip to the National Renewable Energy Lab with a focus on solar energy, electrical systems and grids, and energy-efficient building design. That's where I spent my last 26 years of my working career. I worked in
that building.
All right. Let's get serious here. We also plan to see what the interest is in a half-day set of hikes. The early morning hikes have been very popular here, and we may very well do short early morning hikes. But these are places we would drive to, offering maybe two or three levels of difficulty for them. We were talking, hey, let's take them up to the 10,000-foot whatever and let them hike for a half a day. And I thought, yeah, that'll work great if you're from Florida or, you know, L.A. We'll just lose you right over here. I'll take care of that. That happens to be my daughter hiking up one of the places we like to go. And we would follow these each by a picnic lunch, so it'd be kind of pleasant, and then you can come back and relax for your afternoon. We have one workshop that's definitely going to happen, and that is on energy. We'll cover the basics. We'll also cover the cutting edge, and our friend Brett Nelson's going to do that, senior scientist at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. So you can do the NREL tour in the morning, and you can come back and talk energy with Brent in the afternoon. We may also organize a second workshop on a different environmental topic. So like I said, come early, stay late. I put these up here just to remind me. The cutie pie here is my youngest granddaughter, and that's to remind you about the Denver Children's Museum, which is a wonderful place for kids. Coors Brewery tours, River rafting, we have at least 3 rafting places. They're easy to get to from Denver. And really, if you want to go to the high country and go hiking, once you get acclimated, it's a great thing to do. Anybody want to guess who that is? That's me. That's me. Yay! I did my first 14er last July, last year. And I'm very proud of that. It was very difficult to do, to be honest with you. And that's my dog. So he and I did our first 14er Mount Bierstedt last year. I put this up. I know you can't read all these things right now, but just to give you a sense, this will be on the website, of the many things there are to do if you're able to bring your families 30 minutes from the conference site, 45 minutes from the conference site, a little further away, and other things over 2 hours in Colorado for you to do. Okay, so we hope to see you in Colorado. Thank you very much. Okay, now we turn it over to Sharon for the end of our discussions here.
Would you give the dates again? Yes, July 28 to 31. It's our traditional Friday to Monday schedule. Okay, well, I realize this is not something you typically hear in a college lecture hall. Please take out your cell phone and log into Facebook. Seriously. If you have a tablet or a computer, you could do that too. But if you're able, take out your device, log into Facebook. If you were here last year at the meeting, you might remember, I believe it was at this meeting, the State of the ASA, that I actually Skyped in with you. You saw me on the screen, and we talked about the launch of the Nexus Forum. And it's been going for a year now. The platform for the forum has been through the ASA membership website, your membership, which you all can log into. And we've had some wonderful participation in the forum. But we found that it's a little cumbersome to participate in. So we decided recently that we would migrate the Nexus Forum to Facebook. So I'd like you, if you're logged into Facebook now, go ahead and search for ASA Nexus Forum, N-E-X-U-S Forum, and click on Join. And in a little while, I will have approved you as a member of the group. You'll also be able to pick up one of these flyers that will give you more information about it. But what Nexus is a way for our membership to connect with one another in a way that is a little more personal. There are discussions around science and faith, but there are also discussions around personal development and professional development and ways for students and early career professionals to connect with those who have been in the field a lot longer and have more life experience. And our desire is really for this forum to be a place for you as members to connect with each other in very meaningful ways. And so we will be posting numerous times, probably 2 or 3 times a week through the forum and giving you an opportunity to respond and discuss on the various topics that are posted. The structure of Nexus for this past year has been on the idea of a guided discussion where we've posted topics and questions for members to interact around. And we'll continue to do that to give you some guided conversation prompts so that you can have specific things you're talking about. But we'll also start to link more to resources that are out there. For example, through the Emerging Scholars Network, I've already posted a link to one of their blog posts that talks about internships and how you can benefit in science careers through doing internships. So we'll do things like that. And so I encourage you to sign up. It's a closed group that will only be open to members of ASA. So it's not something that's out there in the public for everyone to see. We want it to be a safe place for members to connect and a place that will be within the ASA community to foster those relationships among our members. So know that it's a closed group, which is why you have to request to join. And I will be moderating it, so if you have any questions about it, you can always contact me, either by email or through the forum itself. And I look forward to seeing you all participate. It's really I think, a unique and really could be a very valuable way for you to keep in touch and really further some conversations that maybe started this weekend. So I'm hoping by the end of tonight I'll leave here and I'll have 80, 100 new members to approve. And if you do this by the morning, so before you go to bed tonight, in the morning we'll pick one of you who have joined the closed group and you'll get $25 in the bookstore tomorrow before you leave. So there's another reason to join. No. All right, so now...
Quick follow-up. If you like paper but think you might be interested in social media, I do have some handouts with all of our social media addresses.
Great.
Here, and you're welcome to have some on your way out.
Okay, and we can put extra at the bookstore table tomorrow even.
Great.
Great. All right, now I have the fun part to do our drawings from last night and today. So, three things. Did you all enjoy that bingo activity on Friday? I thought it was really fun. And I was amazed at how many of you like really got into doing the whole 25 grid. So I have two drawings to make. The first one will give you a $5 gift card to Starbucks. We're going to be buying a lot of coffee here. So Lynn, would you come up and pull this out? This one is for all of you who got at least one bingo on your card. So one person will get this $5. Oh, and you have to be here, so if we pull a name and you're not here, we're going to keep going. Jung Lu. I know she was here earlier. Maybe she didn't make it. All right. Well, Lynn, you might get tired here.
Okay.
See, we want to reward you for coming to the meeting. Kirsten Riggin.
Yay.
All right. People who really went all out and did 25 names on that grid. Actually, a lot were 24 because we realized there's no archaeologist. So we made that a free. So Johnny, would you come up and pick that one? Hopefully we'll get one here on the first try. We have Layla Jewell. Woo! Yay! So Ted's trivia questions. I had four groups, so four color and shape groups who handed me in their answers. And so we're going to go fourth to first place. Fourth place were the green circles. Who are the green circles? You had 30 and a half, correct.
Out of how many?
Out of 40. There were 40. So 30 and a half. You got like a date but a place wrong on one of them. So fourth place, green circles, good job. All right, third place, green stars. Who are the green stars? All right, you had 32 and a half, correct? All right, second place, red circles. Who are the red circles? Red circles got 34 out of 40, correct? And before I announce the winners, you all, everyone who comes up and shows me their name tag with the symbol on it is getting $10 of coffee at Starbucks.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to stay right up here until I see you all. So with 37 out of 40 correct, the green squares. Who's a green square? All right. This was submitted by Billy Yoder. So good job, green squares.
Thank you very much, Sharon.
All right. With that, I'm afraid we ran over. I apologize for whatever overage I contributed to. But our meeting is cut into the IVF time, so we want to be...
Any more green squares ready to come?
Okay. We want to be wrapping up here, and... yes?
Can I make a quick announcement?
Oh, I have to make one, too. Yeah, what?
Okay. I've been working for about 6 months to have an expert on local wildflowers come and talk, and she emailed me at the beginning of this meeting that she can come tomorrow morning. So we'll be at 6 o'clock in front of Munson, and then we'll migrate in here and look at a PowerPoint of some wildflowers. if you want a chance to see something pretty before you head on out of California.
Wonderful. Thank you. One other quickie. If you have to leave tonight between 1 a.m. and 7 a.m., if you have to sneak out because of your airplane flight, please see Marty for instructions on what to do with your key, because otherwise you're going to be in big trouble, all right? Other than those hours, take your key to Trinity. We don't want to keep the IVF people waiting any longer, so if you have comments or questions about the financial numbers or anything else like that, please email Vicki, and she'll work with you and answer your questions, all right? So thank you very much, all of you, for coming to the meeting, and go enjoy the IVF, folks. Okay.